Good morning. This is a very exciting shiur this morning. We're going to take a look at a sefer, Ikve Hatzon, that was authored by Reb Kook in 1906, a few years after he arrived in Eretz Yisrael. This is the first sefer that he printed in Eretz Yisrael. It was not officially published until decades later. As an introduction to the sefer, we have here a letter from the son of Rav Kook, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, who, when he sent the small sefer to Chaim Brenner, Chaim Brenner was a Jewish author, not religious, but known as a scholar and a Zionist. So he sent the book, most likely as a way of being Makariv, Chaim Brenner. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda writes as follows. Ani shalech lecha sefer Ikve Hatzon. We'll address the title in a moment. I'm sending you the sefer Ikve Hatzon. Merosha ni modiyacha. And I just want to let you know, ki ha-sefer hazeh lo tikrabo. And request from you that don't read the book. Ki im tilmud bo be'iyun v'omeku be'kovid rosh. But learn it. Well, hinni meir oscha es devar meila al devar mechaber v'sifra. Let me tell you a little bit about the mechaber, referring to his father, and the sefer. Avi nero yoyer ha-mechaber hu min ha-rebonim ha-adukim. My father, his light should continue to shine, is from amongst the pious Rabbanim of our time. Vasher milvag unoso betorah, besides his brilliance in Torah, zocha gam l'shem tzaddik. He's also been zocha to the title of a tzaddik. V'im zeh, nonetheless, although he's an incredibly choshev talmid chacham and a tzaddik, hu choker filosof chofshi be'ein shu motzer lefonov. He is an incredible philosopher where he explores beyond the boundaries, v'yachdur al yisodei toraseinu, digging deeper into the foundations of our Torah, all the way to the area, the space of Kabbalah. He concludes, Reb Tzvi Yehuda, he says, you should know that my father informed me that the Sefer was divided into two parts. There are seven drushes in the Sefer. Again, it's more of a kuntres, it's a small book. And my father divided the first five drushas. They were focused on the Dor Hayoshon, on the older generation. And then the last two drushas, Das Elokim and Avodas Hashem, they were focused on the Dor HaTzair, on the younger generation. Lehavinam ulehakiram yoser el hayadus hayashana, right, to educate them and to inspire them, to give them an appreciation of what they're now looking at as the old school Yiddishkeit. So what's interesting historically is that you have Rav Kook, who just arrives in Eretz Yisrael when he was about 38 or so years old. He's writing this sefer in 1906, so he was 41 at the time. And he's trying to address two different factions of Yiddishkeit. On one hand, you have the old Yishuv, people coming from Europe who were, some of them, the Talmidim of the Talmidim of the Talmidim of the Gra, very pious, Heilige Yidin. And then you have a new generation of secular and often anti-religious Zionists, right? This is the Dor HaTzair. And they have no appreciation, they have no reverence for the Dor Yoshon. And the Dor Yoshon oftentimes has no patience or any sense of appreciation for the new generation. So he's trying to address both. What I always found fascinating is that the struggle that Rav Kook has in Eretz Yisrael is very similar to the struggle that Rav Hirsch had in Germany. And you see, you have the beginning of the Reform movement, the first part of the 19th century, where living in Germany and obviously beyond in Europe, you have old school Yiddishkeit that's oftentimes viewed as outdated and not fully understanding the modern world. And then you have the reformers who are trying to justify the movement and the need for changing things in Yiddishkeit in order to adapt to real life. So there's one line in the 18th letter of the 19 letters of Rav Hirsch where he's mamish addressing the same struggle that Rav Kook is. Rav Hirsch writes, "And now today, when this aspect of the worldly mentality has already lost its vitality, we are left with two generations confronting each other. One of them has inherited an uncomprehended Judaism. Mitzvos anashim milumada, the mitzvos are practiced by habit. A revered but lifeless mummy, which it's afraid to bring back to life." That's one of my favorite lines in all of Rav Hirsch. A revered but lifeless mummy, and they're afraid to bring it back to life. The other, though in part burning with noble enthusiasm for the welfare of the Jews, referring to the reformers, so there is an aspect of Tov, there's a shorish there that I could look at and say it's coming from a holy spark, but they regard Judaism as bereft of any life and spirit, a relic of an era long past and buried, and tries to uncover its spirit, but not finding it. Instead of reviving it, they try to recreate it. Right? So that's the assessment of Rav Hirsch in Germany, and this Sefer Ikve Etzon is addressing a similar struggle in the beginning of the 20th century in Eretz Yisrael. This note that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook sends to the author Chaim Brenner, he wrote this when he was 15 and a half years old, sending him his father's Sefer.
He's comparing the older generation as sort of like dolls or whatever you call it. That's not the picture I'm getting of the Yerushalmis. A lot of them were very pious individuals.
Oh, so a lot of fervor. A lot of fervor.
It sounds like he's describing the old generation in a more...
Right, so he seems to be describing it in a more negative light. I think what he's doing, though, is he's saying this is the perception of the old generation by the new generation. I think he would agree. There's a lot of real passion, but the perception, though, is that it's old, outdated, and lifeless. Okay, so the title Ikve Tzon comes from a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Im lo seidi lach, if you are not sure, Hayofe b'noshim, you, one of the most beautiful of the noshim, Tzi'ilach b'ikve hatzon, you should follow the footsteps of the tzon of the flock. Many different interpretations as to what the remez here is in the pasuk. There's a Yalkut Shmoni that learns, Malamed sheher elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe kol parnasa Yisrael, Ad hador ha'achron ad ha'okev. That the reference here is that when we're not clear on the direction we need to be going as a nation or as individuals, so we should follow the Parnasa Yisrael, the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actually showing Moshe that in all generations to come, ad dor ha'achron, that's the Lashon of Ikve, Akev meaning like the very end of the body, so the very end of time, will always be zochet to have leaders guiding us in the proper direction. And some interpret the name of the Sefer Ikve Tzon that Rav Kook was trying to say, this is my attempt in giving some level of hadracha and shedding some light on the confusion of our present situation. Okay, what I want to do today, there are seven different drashas. I want to just do one short one together. This is entitled Ha'onig V'Hasimcha. Is it possible for someone to grab me a chumash? Chumash with Rashi was great. Now the truth is, on page 3, there's a description, a short description, you could read at your leisure, of each one, the topics of the seven drushes. And at some point I'd love to do some of the other ones together. My feeling is that Drusha 5, going through that, is really elaborating on Drusha 2 that we're going to do today. Drusha 2 is setting forth a concept, and then Drusha 5 is giving some tools and strategy how to implement that concept.
What does old make new? What does new make compared to Drusha? Is that your title?
No, I cannot take credit for that. That comes from a letter. That's like a famous quote from Reb Kook. It comes from a letter that he wrote to one of his Talmidim, Moshe Zeidel. The letter was dated 1908, and he spoke about his general philosophy, Hayashan Yishadesh V'Hachadosh Yiskadesh. Now, what does that mean? So in the worldview of Reb Kook, it was basically inviting and motivating the older generation to make their Yiddishkeit newer with a sense of hischadshus. And at the same time, v'hachadosh tikadesh, that which is new, we don't have to automatically disregard it or assume it's treif, but let us find ways of uplifting and making holy that which is new. Now this sounds to be in stark contrast with the famous line of the Chassam Sofer, right? Chodosh osur min ha-Torah. But it's not necessarily a stira. The Chassam Sofer, in the context that he wrote that, Chodosh Asur Min HaTorah, is referring to the idea of just inventing new hashkafos or new halachos or making applications that are somewhat out of thin air. You can't just make up your own Torah in hashkafa or halacha. Rav Kook is not saying, I believe in making up new things, yesh me'ayin. He's saying that which is viewed as old, we have to work on being mechadesh it, on renewing it, and that which is new is not necessarily puzzle, right? Let's try to find ways to see the good within it. That's also one interesting theme you find between Rav Hirsch and Rav Kook. Even though they had very different worldviews in many areas of Yiddishkeit, one sad hashava is that the way that Rav Hirsch refers to the reformers, he obviously he disagreed vehemently with the movement and the philosophy, but he does point out, he's like, listen, on the other hand, they do have a burning, noble enthusiasm for the welfare of the Jews. He was able to see the light within the Choshech. Rav Kook also, and probably his most famous essay in the Ikvei Tzon is the first one, Hador. It's the longest and most well-known, where he speaks about his his perception of the generation. And within all of the apikorsis and all of the anti-religious sentiment, the heresy and the chutzpah, he saw an incredible potential. He looked at that and he was able to see these are not human beings who are asleep at the wheel. These are passionate, vibrant neshamas that are searching for more. They might be going in the wrong direction and misled by their leaders, but to appreciate the tov even within the ra.
He wasn't battling reform, but like the Chassam Sofer.
Exactly. He was not battling reform. He was battling really secular, anti-religious Zionism. So it was a different milchama, but you saw that both of them were able to appreciate the tov within the choshech. Okay, so this is the second essay here in Ikvei Tzon, Ha'onig Ve'Simcha. And here we have a Yesod Godol in Avodoseinu B'Hashem Yisborach. Ha'oneg V'Simcha, we're on page 4, we'll read some lines together. Heim devorim muchrochim lios mislavim el kol esik ruchani. Pleasure and joy are qualities that are required. Well, exactly, this is muchroch. It's really far from Muchruch, but this is the Das Torah of Rav Kook. Pleasure and joy are required to accompany any engagement in Ruchnius. Rak, kishiyasane ga'odim v'yismach b'maisa hatova yosher. Only when a person is able to experience joy and pleasure in a maisa tova yosher, only then will he have the diligence and the strength to accomplish these ma'aseh tovim bishleimusam ulehosef aleihem midei yom biyomo, and to be able to add to his avoda. Rak oz yechal ruach hashchina, Only then will he have the infusion of the Ruach HaShechina, like the Gemara says in Shabbos, that Ein Ruach Ein HaShechina Shora Lo Ala Atzvus, Lo Ala Atzlus, only on someone who's Besimcha, Besimcha Shel Mitzvah. Ki Oz V'chedva Bimkomo. Because, says Rav Kook, quoting the Pasuk in Tehillim, we know that the strength and the Simcha is Bimkomo, is in the place of Hashem. To really tap into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have to tap into that Oneg and Simcha. Leo's Netar B'chut Shel Chein V'chesed. And here's where he gets a little bit poetic. To be crowned with the thread of Chein and Chesed. Sheyimtzu Ma'asav U'Pulosav Gam Kein Chein Be'enei Kol HaBrios. Where it's not only I'm enjoying my engagement in Ruchnias, but I'll inspire others, not by what I say or my charismatic drushas or my essays, but just from my mahus, from who I am and how I'm living. V'yetzu gam heim midrachav. And they will automatically want to follow in your ways. V'tirba habracha v'hatova ba'olam. Expanding the blessing and the goodness throughout the world. The Sefer Chinuch actually tells us in the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, when he speaks about the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah, Shetzorich tivo lismoach leprakim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us in a way where there's a need to experience joy. Just like one is tzorich el hamazon, you have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to rest. Says the Sefer Chinuch, we have to experience joy to be normal, healthy human beings. Rav Kook is saying the same idea, but he's expanding it, that the joy we could tap into when we're engaging in Ruchnias, it qualitatively transforms and uplifts that Ruchnias, where it crowns me with a chut shel chein v'chesed, and makes my actions and behaviors so much more appealing to others. And that makes sense psychologically. I think it also addresses an interesting stira. There's a famous stira we're going to come to, the first Rashi in Parshas Chukas. Zos Chukas HaTorah, right? So Rashi says, why is it called the Chok? Lefi shehasatan v'uma sa'ola monim es Yisrael lomer maha mitzvah hazos u'ma tam yeshba. Whenever there's a mitzvah in the category of a chok, then the satan, the yetzahara, or the uma sa'ola will come in, and I'll feel this sense of anxiety. Why am I doing this? I don't understand what I'm doing, or the reason behind this particular chiyuv. So therefore it says, this is a chok, Gezerihi milifana ein lecha rishus lahara achareha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, yes, it is a chok, and you don't have the permission, you don't have the capacity to understand it. So from this Rashi, it sounds like when the Umos Olam look at the Jewish nation who are involved with mitzvos like lulav, or to avoid shatness, different areas of kashrus, they don't look at that and feel inspired and want to emulate Klal Yisrael or want to uplift the Jewish nation. They look at it and they make fun of it. The pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Veschanan, though, seems to say the exact opposite. That when we follow the Torah and we do things in their authentic way, so then the nations of the world say, wow, Rakam Chacham V'Novan Hagoya Gadol Hazeh. What are they saying that about? Shmartin ve'sisem kihi chachmaschem uvinaschem le'enei ha'amim asher yishmun eis kol achukim me'ela. Eis kol achukim me'ela. When you do all of the mitzvos, including the chukim, v'omru, then all of the umas olam will say, rak am chachom v'novun ha'goy ha'gadol hazeh. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav ka'ashem elokim v'chol kareinu elav. And Rashi explains that all the nations of the world will be inspired by Klal Yisrael, and the Rebbeinu Bechaya points out, even by the Chukim, that's what the Pasuk says. Pretty strong question, right? So what's the answer to that contradiction? Are goyim repulsed by the chukim? Does the Yetzer Hara incite feelings of heresy when I have to confront a mitzvah that's a chok? Or are chukim inspiring to the world around us and even to myself? What's the answer to that question? It doesn't depend on the mitzvah, it depends on who's doing the mitzvah. When Klal Yisrael is on this elevated level of doing the mitzvos in an authentic way with a sense of joy, and they're representing a real truth in the world, so then they might be doing the exact same chiyuv that others would look at and say, that doesn't make any sense, but I have a respect for what you're doing because I have a respect for you. Rav Kook is saying, when we're able to tap into an oneg and simcha in our avoda, it not only uplifts us, but it compels others to follow in the Derech Hashem. He says further, you might ask the question, okay, it doesn't sound like it's that hard to do. You put on a smile. You pretend you're enjoying it. So there is a caveat. V'tirba habracha v'tovah ba'olam, rak kishayesh oneg v'simcha penimis b'lev. Only when that joy and that pleasure is internal in the heart, mitzurafim l'maisa tov v'hatzadik, that you're connecting to your maisa tov. Oz hey misbosesim ba'odim lios kavua b'darche akel hatova baruch hu. Only then is it creating this anchor, this foundation that I'm now koveya myself in Hashem. Umekor nafsho yimza ma'im chayim nozlim lahaskilo ladricho baruch haschayim, and I'll be able to tap into that limitless wellspring of ma'im chayim that enables my haskala to expand. But it has to be an oneg v'simcha panimus b'lev. That's the famous Gemara in Tainus. Reb Broka Choza was in the Shuk, and famously he would see Eliyahu Navi. It was not an uncommon encounter. So he asked Eliyahu Navi, can you point out anyone here out of all these hundreds of people walking around and buying dried fruit and nuts? Who are B'nai Olam Haba? Eliyahu Navi points out, Hanan Nami B'nai Alma Da'asi Ninhu. So Rabbi Baruch Choza goes over to them, asks, what do you do for a living? Beduchi Anan. So we're comedians. Rashi says, Beduchi Anan, what does that mean? Smeichim u'misamchim b'nei Adam. They were answering that we're happy, u'misamchim b'nei Adam, and we bring joy to others. So from the time I was a young man, when I first saw this Rashi, maybe 6.5 years old, as I was chazering Tainus Chaf Beis, it dawned on me, why does Rashi have to say smeichim u'misamchim b'nei Adam? The fact that you're happy doesn't have to do with your ability to make a good joke and make other people feel good. Some of the most famous comedians we've ever seen, some of them are no longer alive because they've taken their lives. They weren't necessarily the happiest people in the world, but they were extremely funny. Okay.
That's a different kind of symptom.
Oh, so I think that's the yesod. Rashi's saying is, these were not just people who had an incredible sense of humor, right? You can make me laugh. That doesn't mean I'm a happy person. You're not increasing my joy in life. What these people were doing when they said, Beduchi Anan, our job in this world, we view our mission is to uplift others, to make people not just laugh or enjoy a good line, but to increase their simcha. The only way I could possibly increase your simcha if it's coming from an inner simcha that I myself experience. That's why Rashi says, Smeichim u'misamche b'nei Adam. So I think that's the yesod here of Rav Kook. I want to go a little bit further here. Let's go to the next paragraph. He takes this idea of deriving oneg and simcha into Limud HaTorah. We know the famous introduction to the Iglei Tal, where he says some people make the mistake and they think learning Torah Lishma is to learn Torah. I don't really enjoy it so much, but I'm forcing myself to do it because this is the Ratzon Habore. That's more Lishma than actually enjoying the learning. And he says they are greatly mistaken. The Iker Limud HaTorah Lishma is being able to have an Oneg through the Limud HaTorah. So Rav Kook, he really breaks down Limud HaTorah into three components. Girsa, this is the third to last line on page 4. Girsa, Havana, and Chiddush. So Girsa is, you're going through. You're trying to cover ground. Havana is a little bit deeper. I'm understanding something. Usually Bina is Mevin Dover Mitoch Dover. And then Chiddush is coming up with a new idea, a new approach to a question. So says Rav Kook, in all these three areas of learning, Girsa, Havana, and Chiddush, which also probably correspond to the maturity and the development of a child, right? We always start off with Girsa, and even when they get to Torah Shebal Peh and they're learning Mishnayos and they get to Gemara, it's all Girsa. Right? You barely understand what you're saying. You're trying to learn the flow and the structure and the grammar.
That's something that you remember most because say Girsa the Yankisa, you don't have it by Havana.
Oh, yes. But it sounds like it's ingrained. When we were in the old city, we were visiting the Zilberstein Yeshiva. And that's their whole Mahalach. Very much going with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, how to break up, you know, the ages of education. 5 to Mikra, 10 to Mishnah, 15 to Gemara. The whole idea of starting Gemara in fifth grade, they're not a big fan of. And everything is Girsa. I remember the first time I met someone who went to that yeshiva. This is going back to when I was in Eretz Yisrael, like 80, 85 years ago. And we were schmoozing and learning, and I was so impressed by his incredible bekiyas. And I asked him a question from a Pnei Yeshua I saw. And he told me, and he must have been 18, 19 years old, he's like, I've never seen a Pnei Yeshua in my life. We don't do Pnei Yeshuas, you know? We just get the basics, and then eventually we go on. It's interesting about Mahalach. But says Rav Kook, we have Girsa, Havan, and Chiddush, She'enam Yecholim Lehis Barech Koroi. The learning in any of these three areas is not able to be blessed or to enrich one as it should. Lehovies Oram Yofa Benefesh Adam Panima, to bring in its beautiful light into the inner soul of a person. Ula Achro Oz Vahodar Gam Mechutzalo, and to create this sense of attraction to those outside of oneself, unless I could somehow bring in that joy and that pleasure into the learning. Only then is the learning considered lishma, says Rav Kook. Learning lishma is bahavasa, through its love, tovi es kol hatotzos hatovos habos me'oru shel Torah. Then it could bring forth all of the light that Torah has the offer. That's the famous Chazal, Halavai Osi Ozvu V'Torosi Shamoru Sha'or Shaba Machzirim Lamutov. That even if you're questioning my existence and you're having issues in areas of Amunah, that's okay. Halavai. Halavai don't have a great relationship with me. You should know, though, as long as you're Osek in Torah, Ha'or Shaba Machzirim Lamutov, the light within the Torah itself has this incredible ability to bring me back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Kook is saying, to really tap into that light, there has to be also that sense of Oneg and Simcha. There's a letter here that Rav Kook writes to Rav Moshe Charlap. Rav Moshe Charlap was one of his main Talmidim. He was almost 20 years younger than Rav Kook. And this was written Erev Rosh Hashanah, 1908. So at the time, Rav Kook was in his early 40s, and he's writing to Rav Moshe Charlap, who was in his mid-20s. Before meeting Rav Kook, the avoda of Rav Moshe Charlap was very focused on Tanesim and trying to really disconnect himself from the Olam Hagashmi. So he was writing to Rav Kook and asking for hadracha, how to balance the idea of precious with simcha. If I'm avoiding all of the pleasures of this world, sometimes that means you're not going to be a very happy person, right? And we have the klal of Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. So Rav Kook writes back just one paragraph, but within this one paragraph, it's basically an entire paradigm shift. He says like this. Kavo Toroscha Rama Yedid Nafshi, Shiemoli Hashem Mishalos Libo Latova, my good friend Hashem should answer all of your requests for further growth, Latova. Uleman Hashem Shetia Vodaso Rak Besimcha. But I want to give you the following guiding principle. Your avoda should be besimcha. Below shum atzvus v'daiga klal v'klal. Don't allow daiga, worry and concern and stress and pressure to enter into your avoda. Lanu, this is especially us, yoshvei chevel hanoim, who are zocha to live in Eretz Yisrael, v'kavachomer yoshvei ira tika, ira kodesh, kol shekein, if you're living in the holy city, roi lismoach ba'oseinu baruch hu b'yoser. It's more appropriate that our avoda should be b'simcha. Ule'orer al yedei simchaseinu simchas Hashem. B'chal klal Yisrael milibam shel Yisrael. With the sense of this joint mission with the entire Jewish people. Uleman Hashem. Shelo lehachbid alav shum dover yoser mikoach habrios. Do me a favor. Don't do anything more than you can handle. Anything that's going to be unhealthy for you as a human being, don't overburden yourself with that kind of avoda. Kizos hirak atzas hayetzer. That's the Yetzer Hara speaking. That's not coming from the Yetzer HaTov. Velo osi kurasa. Here he's paraphrasing a pasuk in Yeshaya. Obviously, because we're all experts in the entire Sefer of Yeshaya. And also it has a footnote saying it comes from Yeshaya Mem Gimel. Right? But the Navi is saying, B'Shem Hashem, this kind of avoda is not what I'm looking for. So says Rav Kook, this kind of avoda where you're overburdening yourself, this is not what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. Kim litein margoa laguf harchava lenefesh. A Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have harchavas hadas, to be in a sense of ne'imus. V'yofesh sha'achas. Now this is an amazing line because he's really changing a line of Chazal. Chazal tell us, yofesh sha'achas, bitzar, more than 100 times shelo bitzar. If you're able to be mekayim a mitzvah with incredible mesiras nefesh and pain, you get 100 times more schar than you do when you're mekayim that same mitzvah when everything is tranquil. Rav Kook, though, totally changes the Chazal. He says, yofesh sha'achas shel Torah v'avoda b'menucha me'ava Mekama yomim shel kederus. Right? One moment of avodas Hashem with a sense of restfulness and tranquility and love is better than many days of avoda with stress and daiga. How do you have the chutzpah to totally change a maimer of Chazal? Right? So I'll tell you what I think the pshat is. Huh?
He's giving a little bit of a pirish.
Pretty radical perush, right? So I think here's the pshat. When Chazal tell us, this is almost the Reb Nosson, that you get more schar when you push through something in your mekayim a mitzvah or a maisa chesed when it's difficult for you, the pshat in the Chazal is, I'm not making it difficult for myself. I'm in a situation where, unfortunately, this is very hard to do right now. Either because physically or emotionally or spiritually, I'm in a difficult place. So to be mekayim this mitzvah b'asher hu sham requires so much pushing. So the avada, the schar you're going to receive for that kind of kiyum mitzvah, eino doma to the schar that you receive. When it's geschmack, I like doing it. I'm going to get a lot of kavod. People are watching me do it. It's going to go viral. I'm going to become famous. Going to get money. So then, of course, you don't get the same amount of schar. What Rav Kook is saying is that, but when we have control over our life situation and we could choose whether or not I should place myself in a mindset of stress and agony, or I should try to create an environment of menuchas hanefesh and ne'imus hachayim, what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu ask from you? Hashem wants you to be happy. Ivdus Hashem b'simcha. So it's not a stira to the Maimer Chazal. He's telling us, if you're creating your matziv, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to create. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu yichadesh aleinu shnas ora v'simcha mehar kodesh sela. And he leaves off with the bracha. Okay, now, this idea of trying to engage in the Avodas Hashem from a place of oneg and simcha in contrast to daiga is the next paragraph, or the last paragraph we'll do together today. On page 4, he says, L'shmiris hatam hatov, when it comes to...
You're on five.
You want to be so medactic. So medactic. Okay, so it's page 5. Okay, fine. Oh, Rav Safran, always... fine. Page 5, the big paragraph. Thank you. L'shmiris hatam hatov, v'rachova hanafshi shel odin b'yachas l'mezoni hagufu. When it comes to physical well-being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, mechesed hamasbiya l'chol chai ratzon baruch hu, minei mozon rabim v'shonim. Hashem created so many different ways and opportunities to be nurtured and to derive benefit and to have the nutrients we need to survive and to thrive. Sheyecholim liyischalef l'fi kol echad ve'echad. To the point where everyone has a different palate, and you could choose what you enjoy doing. Lefi matzavo tamo, lefi zmano, lefi tekufos hayom v'hasha, depending on where you are in life. It's an amazing thing how when you're younger, drinking a regular Coke is totally normal. And then when you get to a certain age, you just can't do it anymore, right? Diet Coke is no better, and Coke Zero is no better. But a regular Coke is just like, I can barely do it. You're not that age yet. Okay. Coke Zero is better than regular Diet? Okay, it could be. But according to where we are in life, and then he even adds in, Lefi Perkei Hashanu, Meshech HaChaim, depending on the season. The whole idea of having seasonal fruits, which is an incredible chiddush, even living in 2025, where you could get watermelon throughout the entire year, you notice the difference substantially when you're getting watermelon in the summer, right? In contrast to what it was 4 months ago. It's an entirely different species. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Meirov Chasto, created the world in a way where we have a variety of different flavors to make sure that we continue getting the proper vitamins and minerals. Says Rav Kook, I want to point out, by the way, there's a Tosfos in Brachos that says, this is Pshat in the Bracha of Berei Nefashos. Berei Nefashos Rabos V'chesronan. You have created all different forms of life, V'chesronan, and their needs. And then we say, Al kol ma shebaras lachayos behem nefesh kolchai. Everything that you've created for nefesh kolchai, Baruchei Ha'olamim. You, the Chei Olamim, the life giver of all the worlds, are the source of bracha. So says Tosfos in Brachos Daf Lamed Zayin, Borei Nefoshos Rabos V'chesronan. Chesronan is lechem and mayim, the basic needs, the sustenance that human beings need to be able to keep on living. But then when we go on in the bracha, Al kol ma shebarasa, says Tosfos, Al kol ma shebaolam, everything in the world, Shigam lo baram yecholam ha'olam lichyos b'lohem. That even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create these types of things, we could still live. Shelo baram ki'im letanug ba'alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created so many different types of fruits and vegetables, letanug ba'alma, just so we could enjoy it, kamo tapuchim, like apples, ukiyotze behen. That's pshat al kol ma shebarasa. So says Rav Kook, the same thing is true in the Olam HaRuchani, in the spiritual world. HaMozen Ruchani Yesh Lo Gam Kein Zeh HaKlal. We have the same guiding principle. The Gemara tells us in Erevin, LeOlam Yilmud Adam Mimakum Shelibo Chafetz. You should always learn from the place where your heart desires. Meaning to say, a few lines later, still on page 5, Lefi hachefetz hapanimi l'ravos tzimoneni be'erech hamechuvin b'netiyoso panima. A person being able to understand what he very much enjoys, to pursue those areas of Torah, of girsa, havana, chiddush. Kedei shelo levad hayediyah v'hatoeles nekabel limudenu, to the point where we're not only gaining the information and the insight through our learning, but gam shefa habracha hachayim v'hashalom shel ha'oneg v'hasimcha panimis But by learning those areas of Torah that we naturally appreciate more, that's bringing out that special light, that simcha panimis, shehem yerchivu tzadenu v'yinosu es ruchenu. Right? It expands our steps and it uplifts our spirit. This is a common theme we see throughout Rav Kook as well. Now, obviously, you have to be careful how and when to apply this. A person says, when he is 9 years old, I don't like learning anything besides just reading Tanakh quickly without any understanding. And that's going to be my derech halimud for the rest of my life. Likely, you're not going to become a gadol b'Yisrael. Right? So you have to have a healthy diet, just like you have to have a healthy diet in the mazun gufani. But when it comes to ruchnis, assuming you have a healthy diet of what I need to be osek in my limud haTorah and my mitzvos, there's not only room for choosing that which feels right, but there's an obligation. The famous piece in the Shevet Musar, one of the old Musar / Kabbalah Svarim going back to Turkey in the 1600s, the Mechaber writes that if a person is not tuned in to what they enjoy learning and they don't pursue that area of Torah, they're going to have to stand before a Kadosh Baruch Hu and give din v'cheshbon. Because if you have an atiyah, if you have this inner desire to pursue something and you ignore it, that means likely part of your tikkun and olam hazeh you're ignoring as well. An amazing idea, right? Imagine standing in front of Hashem and having Him ask you, why didn't you do more of those things within ruchnias that you enjoyed? I was doing everything lishma. That's not lishma. Lishma is coming from a place of owning and simcha. And if I'm not tuning in to that which speaks to me, assuming I have a healthy diet of everything else, so then I'm not fulfilling my tafkid in this world. I want to share with you one last point here. Rav Kook uses a word, this is going back to page 4. This is really page 4. Towards the end of the first paragraph. Kol pu'ulos ragshus u'machshavos hanasos mitzad hechrich u'mu'aka. Anything that we do, mu'aka means stress or pressure, because we're feeling that we have to do it. Einam betachlis shleimusam. That's not doing something in its wholeness. When there's daiga, when there's mu'aka, that's taking away from the shleimus of a maisa mitzvah. Now, I was bothered by the question that Tosfos tells us in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin Lamed Aleph says that gadol hametzuva v'osa, yoser me'eno metzuva v'osa. When you're commanded and you fulfill the commandment, you get more schar than one who volunteers to do the mitzvah. And the way Tosfos understands that idea is, because b'mishim mitzuva v'osa is adif, lefisha doeg umitztayer yoser pen yavor. Because there's more of a daiga. There's more of a concern that I have to do this, and therefore I might not do it correctly, I might forget about it, I might oversleep. So because there's more daiga v'tzar, therefore there's more reward. In contrast to one who's not mitzuva and he does it anyway, she'im yirtzi yaniach, you don't have the same pressure, because if you choose not to do it, then you could just not do it, and no harm, no foul. So doesn't this Tosfos, doesn't this Gemara seem to be somewhat in conflict with the idea of Rav Kook? Both in this letter he writes to Rav Moshe Harlap, you want to create a sense of menuchas hanefesh and ne'imus achayim, and what he's writing here in the Ikvei Tzon, ha'onig v'asimcha, anything that's done mitzad hechrech u'mu'uka, it's not b'shleimusa. Tosfos is saying the exact opposite. Because you have daiga and sar, that creates more schar. How would you answer the contradiction?
The same way the Rav answered.
It's a perush.
No, the way the Rav explained what he meant there is really the same thing.
Oh, so meaning, I think it's the same idea. Tosfos is saying, the reason we get more reward when we're commanded to do something is because there's real accountability. I have a chiv. A chiv is not a suggestion, it's a mandate. There are certain natural obligations I have as a human being and as being a member of the Am HaNivcher. So of course there's going to be more, not anxiety, but healthy concern that I want to make sure I'm doing this in the right way. So that's why I'll get more schar. But again, when we're setting up our mentality, the goal is not to lean into the daiga and the tsar and try to amplify it. The goal is to create within the context of, yeah, there is a healthy daiga and there is a sense of chiyuv. My life is not voluntary. I'm not just doing mitzvos because I'm choosing to do so. I'm doing them because I understand that's my purpose in this world, to be mekayim mitzvos habore. But the mindset I'm trying to tap into is an appreciation for what these mitzvos are, and an oneg and a simcha. If someone was to tell you, you should know, you have to breathe. Just breathe. Is that an obligation? Yes. If you want to continue living, you have to breathe. Okay. Do you want to breathe? Of course I want to breathe because I want to continue living. And I could actually enjoy life if I'm not struggling with basic oxygen. I think that's the idea here that we're seeing throughout the piece, which is such a groundbreaking philosophy in all of our avodas Hashem. Obviously, the application to being mechanech children, right, there are many, but this goal of trying to create and cultivate a context of real joy and real simcha, and that being the ultimate lishma in our avoda and our limud haTorah. If we have the ability, maybe we'll do that other essay, Drishas Hashem, where he gives some practical strategies how to actually implement this. Shkoyach Rabbi Yisai.